are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Let's say that together. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, we thank you for the power of these scriptures. We thank you for the rich time we've already enjoyed in the presence of God and around the communion table, celebrating the fellowship of the saints and the suffering of the saints and the victory of the saints. We ask today, Lord God, that your boundless love will just filter in and through us and touch others because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We pray for the anointing of the Spirit of the living God to be present as the word goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The boundless love of God is not merely one of God's attributes, but it's his very nature. The better we are acquainted with God's boundless love, its character, fullness, blessedness, the more our hearts will be drawn to love him. God's boundless love is wonderful because he loved us before we had a particle of love for him. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. His boundless love is spontaneous. He has loved from endless ages before we had any being. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Have you ever considered this truth? That since God's love towards us had no beginning, it can have no ending. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. God's boundless love is without limit. In the book, Attributes of God, it declares this. There is a depth to God's love which none can fathom. There is a height to which none can measure. There is a length and breadth to it which defiles all measurement. Psalm 103 reminds us there is no measurement to the love of God, as it says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. If you fear the Lord, the increase and possibilities of his love consuming you are so great. That's what this psalm promises us. God's boundless love, it's not regulated by your whim or your impulse, nor your passion or your sentiment. No, God's boundless love is a principle, and it never conflicts with his holiness. He's a holy God who loves through holiness. Amen? And so this morning, I want you to be persuaded that absolutely nothing, say that with me, absolutely nothing, say it again. Nothing about what? Well, nothing can separate you from the boundless love of God. Let me persuade you this morning through the insights I want to share with you that absolutely nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God, the boundless love of God. And as I look at verses 31 to 33, God's boundless love inspires those who are far from receiving him. The Father is for us. And so therefore, nothing can be against us. And he proved it by giving his son, Jesus Christ. We see in verse 34 that his son is for us, and so is his Holy Spirit. When we were sinners, God gave us his best. Usually when people sin against us, we hold back. We withhold. We say, you prove it or else you don't receive. But not God. When we were sinners, he gave us his best, his only begotten son. I love God for giving me his best. God deals with us on the basis of his grace. In verse 31 and 32, we see that it is God who has put into us this eternal destiny because he longs for us through his saving graces to enjoy an eternal lifespan of worship and adoration with him. What he does is he erases all accusations that would whisper, that would condemn, that would actually push people further and further and further away because their sin has not been blotted out when they have not yet received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It says in Acts, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sin would be blotted out, and then the times of refreshing would come from the presence of God. And God invites us on this Palm Sunday to have an opportunity to stand before Almighty God, who sent his only begotten Son, so that those who were the farthest away would not be blamed, would not be accused, would not be condemned, but would have an opportunity to repent and turn to him and receive the gracious, boundless love of God. It's for all sinners. There's no favorite sinners in God's eyes. They're sinners. Did you hear what I said? It's not the biggest testimony that gets God's attention. It's not the one who lived the most recklessly. All sinners. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people have sinned. Yes, that means all of us. But God's boundless love inspires us, those who are far from him, to receive him. He wants to declare over each person, you are chosen. You are chosen and accepted in my Son, Jesus Christ. And because of his precious blood, and because of his death on Calvary, and because he was buried, and because he did rise again on the third day, he conquered every sin of all mankind. He defeated Satan and his accusations that there's no way for you to be delivered from sin. That is a lie. That is an accusation. It is not truth. I love God because he doesn't accuse me, but he's the one who declares me righteous in the sight of his son, Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe states, "For God to accuse us would mean that his salvation was a failure and we're still in sin." We're not. Do you see anything on this white piece of paper? Is it blank?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything on this white piece of paper?
Yes.
What is it? A what?
Black.
A black dot. Is there anything else you see on this piece of paper?
No.
You don't?
No.
But that's how people look at the boundless love of God. What they do is they focus on the sin. But because of the precious blood of Jesus, that sin is cleansed. Amen?
Amen.
And so many people waste their life focusing on discouragement, focusing on blame and guilt and shame, focusing on all their failures, all their disappointments, that they forgot that the precious blood of Jesus has cleansed them and they are white as snow. Amen?
Amen.
That's what happened through the precious blood of Jesus. We see in verse 34 that God's boundless love invites us to devote ourselves completely to him. There is therefore no condemnation because we stand right before Jesus Christ through his precious blood. And we see here in verse 34 that it says, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Every single day you wake up, every single day you put your pants on and your shoes and your shirt and you head off the door. Every single day, Jesus Christ is interceding for you. Actually, there's a dual intercession going on in the heavens. It says in verses 24 to 27, the Holy Spirit is interceding. Then it says that he knows the groans within our hearts. He knows the pain and the disappointments. He knows the struggle and the setback. He knows the old nature, and he knows what's getting you and grabbing you and trying to captivate you and hold you down and put you in bondage. And he says, the Spirit of the living God is interceding, and so am I. I am your high priest, and I'm sitting at the right hand of my Father, interceding for you today. I love this scene that takes place in Luke chapter 22, where Peter just blew it big time. I don't know about you, but I have blown it big time. And Peter is filled with shame, guilt, and he knows that he's broken the Lord's heart because he denied him. But Jesus forgave him and restored him back into fellowship. And in Luke 22, verses 31 to 32, he says to Simon, listen to this, it's so important. You could actually put your name where Simon's name is. He says, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has asked permission to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed especially for you that your own faith may not utterly fail. Jesus is praying especially for you. He is so aware of your human nature. He is so aware of your old nature. He is so aware of where the enemy tries to come in like a snake to deceive you. And he shuts it down and he says, yes, the enemy will actually stand before God and ask permission to sift you, to shake you. But in the end, I will win. I have the victory. Amen? I have the victory. And that is God's boundless love. It is present and it is there. And it is meant to inspire us. And it is meant to invite us to devote ourselves completely to God. After he was reinstated, and after he received Christ's forgiveness, he was on fire. And God used him mightily on the day of Pentecost. We see that we have an opportunity to ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, to open our minds, to understand the depth of God's boundless love for us. No matter how much you have failed, no matter how you've disappointed others, no matter how much you have sinned, God's boundless love is greater than that sin. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. We see in verse 35 where it reads this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? We see in that verse that God's boundless love informs us that nothing can separate us. But it requires us to have faith. It requires us to place confidence in that truth. You have to place your confidence in the truth that the boundless love of God is there so that nothing can separate you from Almighty God. And this verse really emphasizes for you and I our security in God. We don't need to fear our past. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to worry about today because we don't know what today or tomorrow is going to bring. You don't have to worry about your future because the secure, boundless love of God marks your life today. You're marked by the boundless love of God. You're sealed by the boundless love of God. You're nurtured by the boundless love of God. You're cared for in a very intimate and personal way. God does not shelter you and I from any difficulties, nor discouragements that take place in our life, because he knows how essential they are to grow us into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. From this poem by Lita Kurtzer, I love this. It's called, I Refuse to be Discouraged. Let me read it for you today. I refuse to be discouraged, to be sad or to cry. I refuse to be downhearted. And here's the reason why. I serve a God who is mighty, who is sovereign and supreme. I serve a God who loves me, and I am on his team. He is all-wise and powerful. Jesus is his name. Though everything is changeable, my God remains the same. My God knows all that's happening from beginning to the end. His presence is my comfort. He is my dearest friend. When sickness comes to weaken me, to bring my head down low, I call upon my mighty God. Into his arms I go. When circumstances threaten to rob me of my peace, he draws me close unto his breast where all my strivings cease. And when my heart melts within me, and weakness takes control. He gathers me into his arms. He soothes my heart and soul. The great I am is with me. My life is in his hand. The Son of God is my hope. It's in his strength I stand. I refuse to be defeated. My eyes are on my God. He has promised to be with me as through this life I trod. I'm looking past my circumstance to heaven's throne above. My prayers have reached the heart of God, and I'm resting in his love. I give God thanks in everything. My eyes are on his face. The battle is his. The victory is mine. He'll help me win this race. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his amazing, boundless love. And even in our seasons of discouragement, we need to understand that that boundless love keeps us secure. We see in verses 39 that God's boundless love increases our confidence to be victorious conquerors. Says, "Know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And when you do a study on that word conqueror, it actually comes from two Greek words. The first word is huber, and the second is nihaiko. And that the first word means over and above, and nihaiko means that you are to conquer. Go above and beyond, and you will be victorious. So this word describes one who is not just victorious. This word actually means you are super victorious, and you win over any ordinary battle, and you have an ability to have a super victory through Jesus Christ. This is not referring to a person who is actually conceited. You know, some people just walk around with their Superman shirt on all the time, right? But no, this is a different type of overcoming. This is an overcoming based and a conquering based on trusting and believing and knowing who God is. And Christ's love conquered death, and to know what was accomplished for you on the cross. And so it's amazing that this word conquer is saying, if you tap in to the boundless love of God, you are going to find extraordinary supernatural power to conquer in Jesus' name. Amen. That sums up the whole last few weeks, doesn't it? That's exactly. I like what Churchill said. He said, "Victory at all cost, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long and hard the road may be, for without victory, there is no survival." God comes to you today, and he's saying, "I'm going to increase your confidence so that you will be a victorious conqueror." Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be with Dave and Rosemary Haller. And I went and visited them in their home and spent time encouraging and just praying for her. And actually, I did up my stand-up routine act with her, and she was not impressed. It's amazing what disease can do to a person's life. ALS is so destructive. But when you looked in Rosemary's eyes, there was hope. There was life. There was victory. And as I watched him care for her, the honor, the respect, the depth of relationship, the depth of suffering these two people had gone through. They did not see their suffering. They saw their opportunity. Things were not getting better. Things were getting worse. And a week later, him and I got together for lunch. And I said, Dave, I have a very personal question to ask you. How do you do this? Day after day. Watching your wife's body cripple. Watching all her muscles lose any motion. Watching her struggle for her breath. How do you do this? He said, first, I'm committed to God. And I love God with all my heart. Second, I'm committed to my wife. This is not a chore. This is my ministry to her. And he meant it. It was right from the depth of his very heart. And he inspired my soul, because many times our own defeats, our own disappointments, our own tragedies seem to so focus until we see somebody else going through something worse. And you look and say, how are they hanging on? How can they do this day after day? I love my God and Savior. I love my wife. I'm committed. You see, when we commit ourselves to the precious love of God, when we commit ourselves to receive the boundless, overflowing, everlasting, immeasurable depth and height of God's love, we have all the potential of being victorious conquerors. Dave and Rosemary. Just because Rosemary is in a wheelchair and cannot move does not mean she is not victorious. She is fully there. I'm telling you, she had a glimmer of hope and life in her eyes. What is in your heart today? What is in your spirit today? What is in your eyes today? Because the boundless love of God has wiped away all those things in your life if you receive Christ's forgiveness. If you receive Christ in your heart, it's that boundless love. It's that forgiving love. It's that accepting love. It's that knowing love. It's that love that embraces me and says, I've got you through the thick and thin of your life. I am here for you now. Let me hold you and bring you and draw you and inspire you with my boundless love. He is here for us today. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you and we are persuaded this morning that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love to those who fear him. We call on the name of Jesus, our intercessor. And you know the brokenness in our lives. You know the disappointments in our hearts. You know the battles that we struggle every single day. You know the accusations of the enemy. We pray today that you will silence the voice of the wicked one. You would silence the accusation of the accuser. And you would remind us that nothing can separate us from the boundless love of our Heavenly Father. I want to give you an opportunity that if you're here today and you've never admitted that you are a sinner, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. God encourages you that if you confess your sins, He will be faithful and just and will forgive you for all your unrighteousness. And He wants to make room for you this Easter season to experience this boundless love that He is offering you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so as you recognize that you have been rebellious and you have been far away, His boundless love today is drawing you and giving you an opportunity to repent and seek forgiveness and invite Christ to come and live within your heart. If you would like to do that with me today, I'd like to pray for you. Put up your hand, please, and I'd like to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Church.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.